It is my pleasure this morning to introduce who we have as our guest speaker. For those of you who aren't, maybe you aren't even new here, I am Pastor Stephanie. I'm the lead pastor here at Olivet. And I only started just this past November, actually. It hasn't even yet been a year. And previous to that, I served at a church in Edmonton for about 9 years. And Pastor Tyler, who is going to be speaking this morning, he was the lead pastor at that church the whole time I served as his associate. And he was also my Old Testament professor back at university, where I did very well in his class, right? And, and so you can, I know at one point he did check back on my grades, and I think they were pretty good. Not excellent, pretty good. And anyway, so he was also my Old Testament professor. So we served as colleagues, but then also he was my professor. And even previous to that, my father was the academic dean. And so I actually have known Tyler since I was probably like 16 years old. So that's a long time. And so I made him promise not to tell too many embarrassing stories about me, and only one friend's reference is allowed. So I'm going to invite Pastor Tyler to come up, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm so glad you're here. And also from Greenfield this morning is another pastor. It's like, these are the days of your life, Stephanie. And Pastor Chris is also here. Can you wave, Pastor Chris? He's also from Greenfield, this church I was with, so I'm very glad him and his wife, Andrea, are visiting this weekend. And so, yes, I'm not going to cry. Okay, I'm just going to pray for you. Okay, I'm so glad you're here. Okay. Oh, goodness. I told you I was going to cry, and then I looked at you. Okay, I'm just going to pray for you, and then we're moving on. Okay. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful Tyler's here, and I pray as he shares about the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, I pray that your Spirit would just fill him right now, and would also be, we would be so aware of your presence with us and be open to this message of gentleness. And I thank you for Pastor Tyler, for his heart, for his love that he has for you and for people, and that we may learn about gentleness from him, who demonstrates it so much in his own life as well. And so thank you for him and his ministry and the word that he is going to share with us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are gentle first, and help us to understand who you are as well. We love you, and we're thankful that Tyler's here. In your name we pray. Amen.
So it's great to be here. I'm sort of on a little bit of a holiday, and I thought, I offered to preach when I was here. I wanted to come to Olivet, and so I send you greetings from Greenfield Baptist, or Greenfield Community Church, actually, in Edmonton. And I just wanted to sort of highlight one thing and just say one thing here at the beginning, is that we want Stephanie back. No, I'm joking. You can keep, you can't have her. Okay. Well, that's good. That's so, but no, I do really hope, that you have a sense of the giftings and, just how awesome, Pastor Stephanie is. And I just pray that God will use her, and together with all of you to, reach out to this community and to worship and praise him. And you have truly a gem here with Stephanie. Come on, just look at me. You can, you know. So this morning we're going to talk about gentleness. And believe it or not, I know Stephanie, when praying, she kind of referred to me as a gentle guy. I don't necessarily think of myself that way. It doesn't come naturally to me. I was a football player and rugby player when I was a lot younger, but I also coached football for many years, and I tend to be more of a loud, somewhat aggressive individual, and so gentleness doesn't come natural to me. But when we're talking about gentleness from Scripture and as one of the fruit of the Spirit, it really doesn't come natural to any of us. And that's sort of the whole point of when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, that these are qualities or characteristics or traits that God works in our life as we grow in relationship to Him. And so, you know, even with gentleness, a lot of times we think about, you know, if you're familiar with the King James Version, it's blessed are the meek or the mild. And these aren't traits that necessarily are very popular today. Another thing you don't know about me, is that I'm Welsh, okay? And I'm here visiting my sister, and she actually made Welsh cakes. Any other Welsh people here? There's a couple. So I don't know if you know what a Welsh cake is, but it's a round kind, not a cookie, not a scone, but it's delicious. And so she made these, and anyway, so I'm Welsh, and sometimes when you're on Facebook, as you search for things, and I was looking at the Welsh, you know, national rugby team and other things, then all of a sudden on Facebook, these ads pop up that are so scarily connected to what you were just searching for or looking at. And so this is one that I remember coming up with, where the meek shall inherit the earth, but the brave get Wales. And that, in me, in some ways encapsulates sort of our attitude towards the idea of meekness or gentleness. You know, that, of course, is a little bit of a riff on Matthew 5, verse 5, where Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And I think that in many ways in our culture, meekness, gentleness is not something that is really celebrated. And even when it is, a lot of times it's connected with feminine traits, not masculine, right? So it's okay for a woman to be gentle and oftentimes even expected, but not a man. And so I did a little search on the internet, and you can kind of, you know, when you're looking at, you know, where is gentleness as far as a trait, and a lot of times it comes up in lists of feminine traits. So here it is in one list where it's connected with, you know, gentleness or kindness, that these are things that are expected of women, not men. Another search found this: common gender stereotypes or traits. And of course, gentle and kind are on the traits or beliefs that are connected with women, not men. Another one, typically feminine and typically masculine character traits, once again has gentleness and kindness on the female side. And the last one, I should have actually had something from the Barbie movie that's coming out right away, but this is another one where you see that, and it even compares it with the masculine traits, that feminine traits here is one of the things is that they are gentle. And so for a guy, I'm off the hook. I don't need to be gentle. I can be aggressive. I can be harsh. I can be mean. Well, mean, maybe not. Okay, as Christ follower, we shouldn't be mean. But, you know, there's this sense in our culture that gentleness is not something that is looked up upon. In your drive here this morning to church, how was your drive? Do you think that, would you characterize it as a gentle drive? Kudos for you. I was driving here and I was using my navigation because I am not familiar with this part of the Vancouver area. And there's one time where I was pausing briefly to figure, okay, is that Queen Street or Queen Ave, Queen Street? You know, and some guy was waiting for me to make a decision, and he got so mad at me for just waiting, so, you know, before I turned, because I couldn't quite see the sign, because I'm getting older. So I guess the question is here is, how do we understand when we think about stuff like gentleness and kindness and really most of the fruit of the Spirit, which tend to skew a little bit more feminine, at least that's what our culture tells us, is how do we understand them? When you look at it, the scriptures clearly highlight that both male and female, that we are all called to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, including gentleness. That is something that we are all to allow God to work in our lives, to be gentle individuals. Now, there's a couple things. One is that we can, I really think there's two options. One is we can accommodate the culture, you know, and sort of just, you know, ignore what Jesus said about gentleness and highlight that men need to be aggressive, or we can broaden our understanding of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, and recognize that as Christ follower that we're both called to gentleness. Now, I don't know if you remember John Eldridge, Wild at Heart. More recently, there's like Driscoll in Seattle, which is not too far from here, and others, other sort of pastors who emphasize that we need to sort of reclaim for men, not sort of a gentleness, but an aggressiveness. And so this is what John Eldridge says in his book, Wild at Heart. The whole crisis in masculinity today has come because we no longer have a warrior culture, a place for men to learn to fight like men. We don't need a meeting of really nice guys. We need a gathering of really dangerous men. And, you know, this was a popular book. It was read by everyone in the day. And I don't quite see how you can square it and its message with our calling to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. What does a life filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness have to do with a gathering of dangerous men? And this isn't something that's just back in, you know, when Eldridge was writing, but if you go on Twitter, you know, you see just so much toxic masculinity and posts that sort of talk about how men need to sort of regain our place, even though we never lost it, to be, you know, frank. But so when we come to Scripture and we try to kind of we get this picture very contrary to this. And this is I don't know if you remember seeing, this was, you know, on the web a number of years back, this bulletin board, you drew first blood, but I'll be back. And so this is a ripped Jesus. This is Jesus on steroids, the masculine. Like, take a look at this guy, right? He's just on the cross, and he's on the cross. He doesn't want to be there, and he just rips it. He breaks the whole cross because it's just, we have trouble with this gentle Jesus. Like in the book of Revelation, we see the Lion of Judah. And then they look and they see that it's the Lamb that was slain. And that's sort of the character of Jesus. And so I think we need to redefine and broaden our understanding of what it means to be human, both as male and female. And we need to sort of rely on Scripture for that. So what is the biblical idea of gentleness? Well, there's a couple different words that are used here. One is prates, where it's usually translated gentleness, meekness, humility. Right? Notice that the connection there between gentleness and humility is something that's quite strong in Scripture. There's another word that's translated gentle or meek. And both of these, there's one, probably one of the top sort of Greek lexicons or dictionaries that's out there nowadays, defines gentleness in the biblical sense as the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. And I think this, and that sort of shows its connection with humility, right? That it's the opposite of being arrogant. It's the opposite of being a know-it-all. It's the opposite of never wanting to ask for directions, right? But it's this sense of, that, you know, that you don't have this view of that you, you know, are rightfully and, you know, a know-it-all, and you know what you're doing. But rather, it's a sense of, you know, having a rightful sense and recognizing where you fit in the larger picture. Now, in the Old Testament, the Greek word is often used to translate the Hebrew word ani, which refers first of all, in many places, to just the poor and the afflicted, like economically poor and afflicted. But then it extends from there to also refer to the humble, the meek, the lowly, the gentle, and that this is a special class of people who are dear to God's heart. and that throughout the Old Testament, they are emphasized as how God has this concern for the knee. Kennison, who I imagine that Stephanie might have, you know, referred to or quoted his book, Life on the Spirit, he talks about a knee as those who in humility rely on Yahweh alone, right? So this idea of gentleness is one of submission to God, right? And relying on God and letting God determine your sense of self-importance, right? Kennison defines gentleness as the strength of character required to ground one's relationships in something other than pride and power. And this, I think, is really key, that the connection to power and domination, right? That it's rather than our relationships that we have with others, because all the fruit of the Spirit are relational and how we treat and connect with other people, that if you're always trying to one-up someone, if you're always trying to impose your will on someone and dominate them, that you are not being gentle. You are not being humble. And rather than arrogantly placing our trust in ourselves, in our own abilities and talents, God calls us to humble ourselves and to place our hope and trust in God and His kingdom. And this is what I think the biblical idea of gentleness is getting at. It's one of God's values, one of the values of the kingdom of God, right? And you see this in the Sermon on the Mount, and the passage that has already been referred to. Blessed are the meek or the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. And even in this verse, that Jesus is saying, not that the blessed, that the meek or the gentle are going to take the earth, that they're going to sort of aggressively accomplish it, but rather it talks about how they inherit it. The meek do not aggressively conquer the earth and subdue it. Instead, they inherit it. This is a great reversal that you find in Scripture, right? That the first shall be last. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That we have nothing to prove when it comes to God. And that's in our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another. There's a number of places in the New Testament which also call us to be humble and gentle. And these words are often linked together. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, Paul here is calling us to be completely humble and gentle. It's not just sort of something which is a little add-on, but it's something that should exude and characterize our whole personality, our whole being. And he's describing the life worthy of our calling as Christ followers. That this is something that we should pursue and allow God to build into our lives. Another passage in Colossians, Paul says, you know, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Seeking gentleness, as well as humility, which it's often paired, points to our relationship with power. Gentleness, meekness, humility, all requires to give up trying to exercise control of our world. Because we believe that God is at work in the world, that we can allow Him to deal with that, and it frees us up from having to sort of claw our way into the positions of power so that God's will might be done, that we can, you know, let God do that in and through our lives. And it goes back to the sense of that Greek word, again, that we're not to be overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. And finally, I think that here is one of the most important examples that I want to leave you with is Jesus' description of his own yoke, his own sense of what it means to be a follower of Christ. He says in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In this passage, Jesus is drawing a contrast between his followers and his yoke and what he puts on his disciples and that of the Pharisees. And of course, throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus, sort of one of his main sparring partners throughout the Gospels were the Pharisees. And here he's comparing that his yoke is gentle and light, and that he can sort of, you know, with the Pharisees, one of the challenges is that they were so intent on keeping the Torah that they multiplied, you know, the obligations. And they said, well, if you want to make sure you don't break this commandment, don't even do this. And they built a fence around the Torah. And rather than that, Jesus highlighted what is at the heart of the Torah, and that's loving God and loving others. And so it was simple, it was light, though it was very difficult to do. But here Jesus characterized himself as gentle and humble in heart. That part of who Jesus was is gentle. And you see that throughout the Gospels. And here he describes the life of discipleship as one characterized by gentleness and humility. Jesus came with gentleness and humility, not with pride and arrogance. He came meekly and humbly as a servant, despite the overwhelming significance of his person and his mission. And he taught his followers to do likewise. The first will be last, the last will be first. Those who wish to lead need to serve, and we see this throughout his message. So the question is, of course, is how can we cultivate gentleness in our lives? And this is really the hard part, and it has to start with prayer. It has to start with our relationship with God, because it is a fruit of the Spirit. And so gentleness is a fruit of God's Spirit, and it's part of the work God will do in our lives as we live in growing submission to him. As we give away the power and control of our own lives and allow God's Spirit to build within us the fruit of the Spirit and gentleness and the rest of them as well. But this is something that we all need to sort of start with. This is where it begins. This is ground zero in terms of developing gentleness in our lives. And it's from our intimacy with God and our relationship with God. So it starts with prayer, but it continues with humility, or submission would be another word that I would think here, because it seems that the relationship between sort of humility and gentleness, that humility is the attitude, right? It's this idea of not considering yourself so important, and it works itself out in gentleness and how we deal with others. And so I think that's why these words are so often sort of overlapping and used together. And that means that we need to learn to submit and yield to others. That's tough. Right? It means to listen to others, to not interrupt others. How often do you, I catch myself, you know, interrupting others when we're talking. And to me, that's, you know, when I think about it, that is an aggressive, that's a stance of sort of thinking that, no, what I'm going to say is more important, that I'm not even listening to what you are saying, but I'm interrupting to kind of get my point across. And we do that so naturally, especially men. Okay, I don't want to be picking on the guys today, but it is true that even stats, empirically, you can look at it, and men, more often than not, will interrupt when women are speaking. And so that's something that I catch myself doing. And so we need to learn this posture of submitting to one another. And that comes in, you know, listening them out, trying to empathize where someone else is coming from, you know, and truly learning their perspective before giving your own perspective. And sometimes it means submitting to others and yielding to others in the sense that, well, no, that's a good point. I was wrong. You know, I was wrong and you're right. Or this, I think your way is a wiser way. You know, like when you look at the Old Testament, you see, you know, what the wise person who's, you know, sort of brought to the pedestal in the book of Proverbs and throughout the wisdom literature, one of the characteristics of the wise person is that they are open and welcome to rebuke, for correction. Because a wise person, in my mind, is someone who recognizes when someone else has a better idea or a better plan. So we need to learn to submit and yield to one another. And that's both for us, for us as a congregation, as the people of God here in New Westminster, that to learn to love one another well as a community, you know, and to spend that time. But then part of that is learning to submit to one another, learning to listen to one another, and to be gentle in our response with one another. And I think that when we interact with others, it has to be characterized with gentleness. And here I'm thinking largely those outside the church. And in Peter, it says, you know, always be prepared to give an answer. And we're very good with that a lot of times. Oh, yeah, we know how to respond to those outside the church. Even if they don't ask, right? And that's the key here, you know, Peter saying, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But we often end the verse there, and we don't continue and say, but do this with gentleness and respect. There are so many Christian trolls on the internet that are not gentle. They are not gentle. They are not showing respect to those that they are disagreeing with. And that's really one of the main reasons why, for myself, I'll go on Twitter every once in a while, and I can only stand it for so much time. Instagram, I'm not even on Instagram anymore. Facebook is my one thing, but really the whole reason I use Facebook is to connect with former students or to post pictures of my bike riding exploits throughout BC. That's what I'm kind of doing during this time. But I think that as we interact with others outside the church, that we need to follow the example of Jesus and interact with gentleness. Now, one of my favorite authors in terms of spiritual formation and in terms of sort of trying to live like more like Jesus is Dallas Willard. And now he's passed on now, but he has a book that came out after he passed that his daughter put together from some lectures that he did on apologetics. And the book is called The Allure of Gentleness. And one of the things that he said was missing in so much apologetics today and how we deal with those outside the church is this key trait, this fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. And so this is what he says. He says, our apologetic needs to be characterized by gentleness. Like Jesus, we are reaching out in love with no coercion. The only way to accomplish that is to present our defense gently as help offered in love in the manner of Jesus. And so your challenge today is to find that quote and to fix my typo in what it says. But I think that here, that all of our lives, whether we're dealing with God and we're to be submissive to God and allow Him to work in our lives and through the Holy Spirit to produce that gentleness in our lives, that for one another, that we are called to be gentle to each other. And so I don't know what your business meetings are like here at Olivet. I don't know what your interactions are like when you get together for soup or for lunch together, or when you chat in the foyer after. But those interactions should be characterized by gentleness. You should treat your staff with gentleness and with compassion. And when you interact with those outside the church, those who aren't yet following Jesus, that they're especially, that we are called to model and to live like Jesus. And gentleness is one of the characteristics that should exude from our lives. It's not something that comes to me naturally, but it's something that I pray God will continue to work and develop in my lives, that when people think of Tyler, they don't think of Santa Claus necessarily, though, you know, the beard is, you know, maybe I'll do that as a side gig, but rather that they think of me as someone who is gentle, because my Lord and Savior who I follow is. Let's pray together. So Lord, I just thank you so much for the gentleness that you have shown me, the gentleness that you show to each of us as you deal with us with love and with grace. And Lord, I pray for each of us that you would continue that good work that you started in us, and that you would produce in us the fruit of your Spirit. And this morning particularly, I pray that you would give each of us a gentle spirit, a gentle way to interact with others, that we would not be harsh, that we not be arrogant, but yet, Lord, that we would be gentle and humble as we love one another and as we love our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen.